Welcome to today's In Touch with South Central Iowa. Andrew Schneider on KNIA Cabless Radio discussing what has been a very active weather week here over the past week or so with Brad Small with the National Weather Service in Des Moines. And Brad, let's talk first about what has kind of already transpired. Now, for transparency, we are recording today before the potential severe weather threat Tuesday evening. But again, it's been very active across much of central Iowa. For our listeners, what has been kind of the driving force behind a lot of the frequency? We've had a lot of warnings, a lot of watches, and really a lot of thunderstorms even outside of the severe weather.
Right. Yeah, the pattern certainly turned active as we've added some moisture to the atmosphere, which was not happening earlier when we were still in the drought conditions earlier this spring. But we've turned that corner. Feels much more summer-like out there if you've been outside a few of these days with dew points up into the 50s and even the 60s at times. And with that, the jet stream hasn't really retreated to the north as it does typically as we transition from spring to the summer. So with that jet stream still overhead, that combination of greater instability driven by that moisture and increased wind shear, which is driven by the jet stream still lingering around, that makes the environment conducive for strong to severe thunderstorms, which we've seen over the past few days and especially last Friday.
Well, and speaking of last Friday, Marion and Warren County did not have a tornado touchdown in the county borders, but we were awfully close, especially with some of the storms over by Cumming in northwestern Warren County, and then, of course, by Monroe, just to the east and just to the north of our county line, and then Pleasant Hill had an EF2 go through. Let our listeners know some of the initial findings from some of those tornadoes that impacted central Iowa on what was essentially a fairly big outbreak, especially when you think back over towards Lincoln, Nebraska and in west central Iowa.
Right, yeah, there were 24 tornadoes and counting. That's just what we've discovered thus far. We're continuing to get additional videos and reports of tornadoes that people have seen. That doesn't filter in immediately. It takes several days for a lot of that information to come in. So we're 24 tornadoes across the state and 19 in the NWS Des Moines Central Iowa forecast area. Seven of those have been EF2s, seven EF1s, one EF0. And four have been rated as EF scale unknowns, which means they didn't really hit anything. Remember, the EF scale is a damage scale. It's not a strength of tornado scale. So we have to rate the storms based on what damage it produced. And four of those tornadoes, fortunately, didn't hit anything, so they were unable to be rated.
Well, and I think for our listeners' sake and really for a lot of people, there was pretty significant advance warning when you think about the Storm Prediction Center forecast from a few days before all the way to the watches and the warnings that we were on the air for. What about that system in particular allowed for so many really long track tornadoes, maybe 30, 40 miles long, but certainly a lot of these tornadoes stayed on the ground for quite some time.
Right. For long track tornadoes, we're looking for that shear. I talked about both deep shear, which means tens of thousands of feet up in the atmosphere, and also shallow shear near the ground. We're looking for a lot of moisture with low cloud bases, and we had a lot of those ingredients come together last Friday. It wasn't the most unstable day. It wasn't extremely warm and humid, but you really don't need that to get strong tornadoes if you've got just adequate instability, and especially when that shallow and deep layer shear is really strong, which it was last Friday.
We're here with Brad Small. He's a meteorologist with the National Weather Service office out of Johnston. And we're discussing what A, has been a very active severe weather period, and B, we'll talk about tulip time in just a second. But you mentioned drought earlier, and obviously the bad side of thunderstorms are the damage, the tornadoes, the hail, the wind. But if there is a silver lining, significant rainfall across a lot of central Iowa.
Right, and there's more to come in the next few days, but we've made pretty considerable strides in reducing the drought across the state. And that trend should continue when the next drought monitor is released Thursday. Right now, there's only a small section of the state in northeast Iowa, north and the east of your listening area, that's still in an extreme drought. Your area is mainly in the severe drought area, which is nothing to sneeze at, so to speak. It's still something considerable and something noteworthy. But as you mentioned, we'll have the new drought monitor out Thursday, which these drought conditions should continue to be reduced. And then that only takes precipitation into Tuesday, but we'll have additional precipitation Wednesday and Thursday. So the next one a week from Thursday should be even more improvement.
Well, and that's good news for the drought, but as I just alluded to, we're here in Pella, in one of our home bases, and of course, we're expecting crowds of thousands to come to our Tulip City. And there will be some active weather, it looks like, certainly with the latest forecast. Again, we're talking approaching midday on Tuesday. Some things could still change, but it's been pretty consistent, Brad. The call for rain, especially starting Wednesday evening and continuing into Thursday. What does that setup look like? It doesn't look like severe weather by any means, and certainly just maybe some off and on showers really throughout the day through Thursday evening as of right now.
Right, the big severe weather and the most intense storms are expected today, Tuesday, but that doesn't mean the chances for precipitation have ended for the time being. As we go later in the day, Wednesday and into Thursday, the chance of showers and thunderstorms ramps up to 80% or more. Several rounds of showers and storms are anticipated. The severe threat is low, but the potential for moderate to heavy rains is still fairly high. So that's something to keep in mind Wednesday night through Thursday night. And then as we head into the weekend, the chance of precipitation diminishes somewhat. The chance of thunderstorms lowers. We're looking at maybe some spotty showers Friday into Saturday. But certainly Wednesday night through Thursday night, that's something to keep in mind. It still could be active with periods of showers and thunderstorms.
So what you're saying is if you're going to Tulip Time, definitely bring your umbrella and rain gear, especially Thursday, and be prepared for maybe a passing shower Friday and Saturday. But it looks like, as of right now, Friday and Saturday, much better for an outdoor festival.
Yep, that's correct. Temperatures Friday and Saturday should be high temperatures right around 70. We're not looking at all-day washouts or anything. So maybe take an umbrella, but it's not going to be too cool. There's been cooler days for the festival, but we'll take highs around 70 this time of year.
And then one of the things I recently got to do was a partnership training with the National Weather Service, media partners, and emergency management. One of the things we discussed was the partnership between your office and our local emergency management, especially as they prepare for festivals like Tulip Time. Can you go in a little bit about that relationship and how this weekend you'll have staff working with our county emergency management and police department in the case there is maybe a severe thunderstorm that does pop up?
Right. I mean, it takes a community to get the safety aspect completed down to the local level with your emergency management and your law enforcement folks, and then what we have here. So what we do is we keep an eye on the weather here, and we notify the emergency management staff if we expect any lightning nearby, especially strong thunderstorms, any hazardous weather that may impact folks there at the festival. So both us here at the office and people there locally are also keeping an eye on things.
Well, it should be hopefully a lot of fun, especially Friday and Saturday for Tulip Time. That's Brad Small. He's a meteorologist with the National Weather Service. We discussed some of the severe weather that we've had recently, the very active weather, its impact on the drought, and then, of course, our beautiful Tulip Time Festival this Thursday through Saturday. Brad, appreciate your time, and hopefully all the best to you, and we'll talk again soon.
Yep. Thank you, Andrew.
If you miss any of our Let's Talk or In Touch programs, you can find them online at kniacableless.com and under podcasts on Google, Apple, and Spotify.